Good morning. Welcome to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Jason Sandine in studio today with you, talking to you about a personal injury topic. We are personal injury lawyers. We are Bell and Pollock. We've been around since 1984. We've been providing services to the community since that time. We handle personal injury cases. And with all the commercials, all the different people talking about and endorsing other lawyers, it's hard to pick a personal injury lawyer. I know that's hard to pick a personal injury lawyer. I know it's hard to know who to turn to in the event there's been an injury. Somebody's had an unfortunate injury that's been the result of somebody else's negligence. You're trying to pick your lawyers. We are Bell and Pollock. We'd like to be your lawyers. We'd like to have the opportunity to interview with you, to have you tell us whether or not you want to hire us. I've been practicing law since the 1970s, folks. Let me tell you something. Every interview that personal injury lawyers have done since the 1970s, every initial interview is free. And when somebody says you get a free consultation and they act like that's some kind of special thing, it's not a special thing. Now, it's good they educate you. It's good they tell you, hey, you're going to get a free consultation. You know how that free consultation works in? That free consultation works into the fact that personal injury lawyers work on percentages. And we work on a percentage because we don't get paid unless you get paid. Every personal injury lawyer works that way. We get paid when you get paid. We get a percentage. So, of course, you can come in on the initial consultation. You don't pay a dime. You know what? You don't pay a dime on the second consultation, the third consultation, the fourth consultation. You don't pay a dime on any of that. But what's important about those consultations? What's important about them is that you get a chance to talk to a lawyer. If you're dealing with a company or a law firm or some group that is sending an investigator to your house and signing you up through the investigator or signing you up at their office through the paralegal, and you're not getting to sit down and communicate with the lawyer, then you might want to think twice about whether or not you really want that law firm to be your law firm. Jason, I think you've been with us how long?
5 years, Brad.
Just okay. And have you ever sent the investigator or a paralegal to go do the initial interview with the client?
Absolutely not. I want to do that myself. I want to sit down. I want to meet the client, potential client. I want to talk to them, hear how this has been affecting them, and hear kind of what their story is. So we can decide, you know, number one, if it's the right fit, if it's something that we can help them with, and then also to kind of understand where they're coming from. It doesn't help to just look at a piece of paper and try to understand what someone's been through. You have to really sit down with that person, listen to them, talk to them, see how they're feeling.
And so of course you get a free consultation. Of course we're not going to get paid unless you get paid. And the other thing is, I talk about this every single week. You know who's helping you and all these other lawyers to get to recover lots of money for their clients? Believe it or not, our show is. Because our show, we talk all the time about making sure you have enough coverage, making sure you have enough uninsured motorist coverage, underinsured motorist coverage. You have enough coverage for yourself. So I want all of you that are listening to think about this. Could you write out a $100,000 check to somebody that you hurt? If you hurt somebody, could you write out a $100,000 check right now and pay it over to them? Now, those of you who can, fantastic. Congratulations on your successes and on your way of life. But those who can't, which is the majority of people, are looking going, of course I can't. Then you start and think, okay, if I had injuries, what makes me think that other guy can pay $100,000 to me? Can pay $200,000, can pay $300,000. I got $500,000 for this guy. So-and-so lawyer got me $1 million. They're all saying it. Where do you think this money is coming from? Jason, where's it coming from?
It's coming from the insurance company.
It's coming from the insurance company. So if you don't have insurance or if they don't have insurance, that money's not going to be there. You know, there are certain factors that have to go into the pot that you're stirring to determine whether or not you're going to have recovery in a case. And where does this recovery start? First of all, you got to have negligence. Second of all, you got to have it be the fault of the other person. You got to have the injuries that fit within it. Then there's got to be the money, and you got to be able to find the money. Now, we've done shows. We've told shows where you can look at 4, 5, 6 different sources for money. We've done shows where we've talked about getting your own insurance, having your own uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage, making sure you're protected. Just because you have it doesn't mean they're going to pay it, but they will pay it, the insurance company, if you're hurt. Now, here's what's going to happen. And that's what our show's about today. We're going to talk part one, at least, about what our show's about today. And that's when you get hurt, the adjuster's going to want to talk to you. Now, I've stated many times, you don't need to call us from the scene of the crash. Do we want to represent you right away? Yes. And if you do want us to represent you, or you want to interview us to see if we should be representing you, call us at 303-795-5900. Or look us up, bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. We've had the same phone number for 40 years. We've had the same email address for 40 years. It's easy to get, 303-795-5900, championsofthepeople or bellpollock.com. Now, what's going to happen is when you get in a crash, within maybe 24, 48, 72 hours, an adjuster is going to call up and want to talk to you. And the first thing you've got to distinguish between is whether or not it's an adjuster on your personal property to take care of your car, or whether it's an adjuster to find out if you're hurt and learn about the crash. Right, Jason?
Absolutely. There's different responsibilities to work with your insurance versus their insurance. So when under the insurance contract, you know, it helps to report this accident to your insurance company, regardless of who's at fault. Let them know about that. Let them work for you and do what you've been paying them to do with the premiums all these months. Now, the at-fault driver's insurance is also going to talk to you. You do not have those same duties to cooperate with them. You don't have to talk to them right away. You don't have to sign a release for all your medical records for them. You can tell them that you want to go to your doctor. You want to talk to an attorney before you speak with them.
So there you go. You want to be able to talk to an attorney. And you should talk to an attorney, because let me tell you something. Well, I'm going to talk to you, and Jason and I are going to talk to you for the next 15, 20 minutes about certain affirmative defenses that come up in court. Certain affirmative defenses that the defense will try and use. And you know where they start with learning about those? They start with putting that together on that initial interview when the adjuster wants to interview you and the adjuster wants to talk to you. Now, I remember years ago, I had an attorney on the other side, a defense attorney, and he was kind of like a Matlock type attorney. If there were any of you who watch television, Matlock, the attorney, he was kind of like that kind of attorney. He liked to stumble around, but he always liked in his deposition, he'd depose you, he'd come in and ask you questions for about 2 hours, 3 hours, and at the end, he'd look and he'd say, "Miss So-and-so, I just want to ask you one thing. Thinking about it, looking back now with 20/20 hindsight, Do you think there's anything you could have done when this accident was happening that you could have avoided or lessened the degree of the crash? Just anything where you look and you go, gosh, I sure wish I had done this, or I wish I had done that." And he would say it in such a way that it was just kind of like a conversation that he wanted to convince somebody to say, you know, yeah, there's this or that. He was trying to prove comparative negligence. That's what he was trying to prove. He was trying to use that innocent little question to hurt you. So we're going to talk about comparative negligence, and that's an affirmative defense that's used to lessen the amount of recovery you're entitled to. And Jason, what's comparative negligence?
Well, comparative negligence is exactly like Brad said. They're trying to show that, yeah, okay, maybe the other driver got the ticket. They're at fault, but maybe there was something that you could have done. 5% your fault, 10%, 20%, 50% your fault. And what they do is they use that percentage, they take it away from your total recovery, and if it's more than 51%, you're in trouble there. And so what they'll do is, you know, yeah, maybe I could have looked closer. You've obviously played this accident in your head 100 times. You've thought about all the different things that you could do. And you kind of let your guard down because the police officer came, they responded, they maybe even wrote the other driver a ticket. It seems obvious that they're more at fault than you, but it's a percentage. And if you're just 10% at fault, that can reduce your total recovery by 10%. And if you have serious injuries, that can be a lot of money and really be the difference between being able to pay all your bills and get back to how things were to having to struggle a little bit.
So the adjuster, when they're talking to you, is going to ask you questions about that. Now, we in Colorado are a state where, you know, there's different amounts in different situations. In Colorado, we're a state where if you've been hurt, if somebody's done something and you've been hurt, and the jury decides that you are comparative negligent, 50% comparative negligent, you're going to lose your case. You're not going to get anything. If the jury decides that you're 10% comparative negligent, then you're going to face a 10% reduction in the amount that the jury thinks you've been damaged for your injuries, damages, and losses. That's just the way it goes. So what do you think the adjuster is going to do? You think the adjuster is going to go, well, now, you know, I have this category of comparative negligence, and I want to start figuring out whether or not you were comparative negligent. No, the adjuster's not going to do that. The adjuster's going to ask you questions. How long was it before that you got into that lane before the person rear-ended you? Did you go over immediately, or were you over there for a number of seconds, or were you over there for 30 seconds? When you went through the stop sign and the other guy went through the stop sign to hit you, did you come to a full stop when you went through? These are questions the adjuster is going to ask you because he's trying to set the stage for comparative negligence. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Jason Sandeen in studio today. We're here talking to you about what the adjuster is really trying to get in the interview and why you want to talk to a lawyer. If you have any questions, call us 303-795-5900, bellpollock.com, or championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.
You're on your way to the store, then boom, you're T-boned at 45 miles per hour. Instead of shopping, you're on your way to the ER. Then comes the doctor visits, prescriptions, therapy, diagnostics, ongoing treatment, and the limitations. You have range of motion problems. Then the ultimate insult. The insurance company makes you feel like the crash was your fault. You need a legal game plan. You want a legal game plan. At Bell & Pollock, we've used over 25 years of experience to develop a legal game plan just for you. Our game plan has injury rules, rules of treatment, rules of claims, insurance company rules, litigation rules, rules they use to beat you. Now you can have them and know them and use them to protect you and your family. Our Bell & Pollock legal game plan gives you the rules the insurance company doesn't want you to have, or know, or use. But guess what? We do. At Bell & Pollock, success is no accident. Find us at championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Get your free initial consult and your free legal game plan. We'll help you.
Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Jason Sandeen in studio today. We're talking to you about what the adjuster is really trying to do when they talk to you after you've been in a crash. If you've been hurt as a result of the negligence of another, and you know, this may not just be in a crash. If you're the victim of a slip and fall, if you're the victim of a defective condition, they're going to talk to you, and I really suggest, like I said, you don't have to call us. If you've fallen on the sidewalk or if you've fallen in a parking lot, as you're getting up, you don't have to dial our number, folks. I mean, you know, yes, we're open 24/7. Yes, you can get us on the weekends, but, you know, take care of yourself. Go to the doctor. Go to the emergency room. Go home and relax. Take care of yourself. Report it. If you're in a slip and fall, you probably want to do more right there. You want to take photos. You want to document the condition of the property or what you fell on. If you're in a crash, you probably want to document a lot of what's gone on. You want to get the police. For sure, get the police. And if you really want to know everything you do, call us 303-795-5900, and we'll send you one of our accident packages that you can keep in your car that gives you information about what you do in the event of a crash. We've got them. They're free. We'll just mail them right out to you and you can have them. And it's just a little package. It doesn't take up any room. You can stick it right there in your glove compartment and you can have it available. But in the meantime, when you've had these events occur, when you've had something, you've been hurt as a result of the negligence of another, please give us a call. We'd love to represent you. You can call us at 303-795-5900, bellpaw.com, or championsofthepeople.com. Now, we were talking about the affirmative defense of comparative negligence. And like we said, if they get to the 50% point in a juror's mind, you're getting nothing. If they get to the 25% point, they've knocked 25% off your recovery, no matter how bad you're hurt. So what kind of things are they going to ask you? What are they going to talk to you about? You know, Jason?
Sure. Well, if you've listened to the show before, you know that the insurance adjuster is not your friend. They're going to be polite, you know, at least initially. They're going to, you know, seem concerned about your injuries, But like we talked about on the first segment, they're just picking apart, trying to take a percentage, take comparative fault, to minimize your injuries, to protect their insured's liability. So they're going to kind of go through all of that with you. They're going to talk about the crash, talk about what, you know, if you could have done anything differently, if you could have seen them, if you had... you know, we're getting that time of year now where there's snow and frost on the windows. They'll want to know if, you know, you had properly scraped all the ice off of your windows, which, by the way, you should do every time before you get in your car. They're going to want to know when did you go to the doctor? When did you first report it? They're going to want to know if you had any prior symptoms that, you know, if there were any other accidents or anything that may have been... that they can put some blame, some percentage of your injuries on something that is not their insured's fault.
Even in a rear-end accident. So you're driving down the road, you get into a lane, you get rear-ended. They're going to want to know how much time did you give the person behind you. Now, do you think they're going to say, well, how much stopping distance did you give the person behind you so that they could make sure they had a chance to stop? Or how much time did you give them to be able to stop? No. They're going to ask you, did you see the person and how far away were they and how long do you think it was before you stopped and came to a stop and how long before they came and hit you? And by the way, what were you doing in your car when this crash happened? Were you looking out the side window at the lake that was next to you where it's a beautiful scenery, or were you looking out at the nice scenery, or were you paying attention to where you were driving? And by the way, yes, this person you think ran a stop sign, but did you see them? Did you see them coming out? Did you see them coming across the intersection? So you know, they're not going to say it, but what they're doing, and they want to build is, so you saw the person going through the stop sign and you continued to proceed and let the crash happen. Well, gee, maybe you have some responsibility to make sure that crash doesn't happen. Maybe you should have done something. Or you saw the person driving erratically and you decided to still pull up next to him in the lane. Or you saw a car coming head on and you just decided, I'm going to just keep going rather than pull over to the side of the road. Yes. You're thinking, well, those people are obviously wrong. Yes. But they want to say you contributed. You were comparatively negligent. You caused some of the problems. Let's talk a little bit about another element they'll get at you. And a lot of times it happens when you're a passenger in the car and a crash has happened. And that's assumption of the risk. And you've gotten in the car with somebody and, you know, so you have somebody who's a designated driver, or you have somebody who you're driving home with and you've been at the local bar and you've had a couple of drinks, and you get in the car with your driver who, maybe you know they're intoxicated, maybe you don't, but are you assuming a risk when you start getting in that car?
That's a good point, and that is the one that jumps out with assumption of risk. You do hear that, you know. Maybe you're at the bar, you have your friend that you know has been drinking. Maybe they feel like they're a little bit more able to drive than you are, and you get in that car. They cause a wreck, and there's an assumption of the risk by you getting into a car with that drunk driver. Now, obviously, we have the ride shares, Lyft, and Uber. There's no reason to drink and drive. If you got money to go out to the bars, go out to dinner, you have money to get a safe ride home. But it is something that they're going to use to minimize your claim, minimize your injuries, and minimize the amount of money that you're able to recover.
Heck, you've got a designated driver. But if you see that designated driver drinking, you got a problem. But what if you're in the car and you're noticing the person's driving stupid, erratic, that they're not driving the right way? Have you assumed the risk? What if you're in the car and you're deciding to get on the cell phone and you're driving? Now that's comparative negligence. Mm-hmm. If you're getting on the cell phone, there's a difference between the two of them. What the adjuster is going to do is be asking you questions to see if they can open up the door for any of those things. How about assumption of the risk? It's funny because as the winter comes on, they always talk about whether or not you are obeying the traction law and are you following the traction law. Now, if you have tires that don't meet the traction law and you go up, and I think you go up west of Morrison, I think is where it starts. You're somewhere around there. And you're heading up west of Morrison to go skiing or to go on a trip, and you're driving, and you haven't obeyed the traction laws, and now all of a sudden you're in a crash. And the person that you get in the crash with is obviously responsible for causing the crash. Is there a potential comparative negligence or maybe assumption of the risk defense that the adjuster can use, that they're not going to say, well, I got this comparative negligence or assumption of the risk defense that I've been taught about in my seminars, which they have been taught in their seminars. Instead, they're going to look and they're going to say, okay, how are your tires? And can we see your tires? Can we see your car? Can we inspect your car? When's the last time you had your tires checked? And once again, they're going to ask about the windshield and they're going to ask about the car. And they're going to ask about the brakes, and they're going to ask when you took care of all that. What are they driving at, Jason?
They're looking at anything they can to minimize it, to take some blame, to take some responsibility off of their insured. And if they know what they're doing, they're absolutely going to attack you on that. They're going to look for whatever they can to deflect responsibility from their insured.
So you have to be ready for that. They're going to want to know. What's one of the ways you make sure you're not going to be called comparative negligent or assumption of the risk when you decide to drive up in the mountains during the snow? Is make sure you are obeying that traction law. Don't violate that traction law. That can be a very, very tough situation if you violated it, because the police can look. They'll record it on the accident report, and if they don't look, you're still going to have the adjuster asking for it. But this is why we talk to you about the fact that when you go to talk to the adjuster, before you talk to him, give us a call. We're Bell Pollock. We're Bell and Pollock. You can call Jason. Jason's been doing it for five. Actually, you came from another firm.
Yeah, about 7 years total.
7 years, and he came from one of the competitive firms that you see on TV all the time. Mm-hmm. But he's got 7 years experience doing this. Gary and I have more than you want to count, 30 and 40 years of doing this. We've got lawyers of every degree, every age, ability to handle your case. You can call us at 303-795-5900. Call us at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. Now, I want to tell you, like I said, you hear these commercials about call me now or call right now, or you got to call and we want you to call before the weekend's up and stuff. Okay, look, it's nice to get on a case early so we can work with it. But if you're there and you've been in your crash happened 6 months ago or a year ago, still give us a call.
Oh, yeah.
It's not all lost. The statute of limitations, if there wasn't a death involved, the statute of limitations for a car crash is 3 years, folks. 3 years. Now, do you want to wait until a month before the statute of limitations?
No.
Call us now, though. If it's been a year and a half, 2 years, give us a call. Let us help you deal with whatever you have to deal with. Here we're talking about the adjuster, and it's nice to talk to you when the adjuster calls. We've gone through two defenses out of maybe 10, 15 that they can put up that we're going to talk about more next week, and we'll get through more defenses than just two. But comparative negligence and assumption of the risk are big ones. And let me tell you something. They're especially big if you've jumped on the back of a motorcycle and you're deciding you're going to go for a ride on a motorcycle. So we're going to talk about that. But right now, you're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Jason Sandeen in studio. We're here to educate you and to advocate for you. We're going to do both. We're going to educate you so you know what's going on. We'll advocate to help you. You can call us at 303-795-5900, bellpollock.com, or championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
You're on your way to the store, then boom, you're T-boned at 45 miles per hour. Instead of shopping, you're on your way to the ER. Then comes the doctor visits, prescriptions, therapy, diagnostics, ongoing treatment, and the limitations. You have range of motion problems. Then the ultimate insult. The insurance company makes you feel like the crash was your fault. You need a legal game plan. You want a legal game plan. At Bell & Pollock, we've used over 25 years of experience to develop a legal game plan just for you. Our game plan has injury rules, rules of treatment, rules of claims, insurance company rules, litigation rules, rules they use to beat you. Now you can have them and know them and use them to protect you and your family. Our Bell & Pollock legal game plan gives you the rules the insurance company doesn't want you to have, or know, or use. But guess what? We do. At Bell & Pollock, success is no accident. Find us at championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Get your free initial consult and your free legal game plan. We'll help you.
Welcome back to the Bell & Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Jason Sandeen in the studio today. We are attorneys at the law firm of Bell & Pollock. You can call us at 303-795-5900, bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. We've talked to you about what's going to happen in that interview when you're just talking to the adjuster and you don't know these affirmative defenses. But we do. The adjuster does. The adjuster's been trained. They know. Matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't have different categories to ask questions in these categories to see if they can't fit you in. And Jason, they're going to be important down the line.
Yeah, yeah. The adjuster is going to get you on the phone. And like we've said a thousand times before, they have an agenda. And they are going to take advantage on, you know, people want to help. That's, we're inclined, our instinct is to be forthright, to give information, especially when we feel like we are not at fault and that this is someone else's responsibility. But, you know, they're going to take one comment, one thing that you say, and maybe take it a little out of context, twist it, or add more weight to it than you meant. So you just need to be aware of that and be careful.
You're listening to the Bell & Pollock Legal Show. If you've been hurt as a result of the negligence of another in a car crash, slip and fall, truck crash, anything else that's happened, you give us a call. 303-795-5900, bellpollock.com, championsofthepeople.com. Listen to, get on our website. Take a look at everything we've got on our website. We have show after show after show to fit into all the categories. Take a look at it and get yourself prepared for what's going to happen. Give us a call so we can help get you prepared. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, you all stay safe and have a good week.